Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About. I am not Gina Tremarco, and I am not Rachel Pitts. I'm Doug Branson, and I'm lucky enough to produce this podcast that you've come to love. Lucky because it means I get to spend time with these smart, funny, beautiful people each week and help bring this show to you. Today, we're looking back on the year that was 2020 for this podcast. Now, I'm sure you have heard or are going to hear a lot over the next few days of 2020 recaps about the immense challenges this year has brought to so many of us. And it's true. But I wanted this show to serve as a momentary reprieve as much as it can from the chaos outside our windows. So enjoy a listen back to the laughs, the wisdom, and the sexiness that has come to define women your mother warned you about. We start our look back with a question that Gina and Rachel ask first to each of their guests. Are you a woman your mother warned you about? And an answer that has come to define what this show is all about. Here's Meredith Campbell.
Women are a force of nature, and we are powerful, we are confident. I'm very stubborn. In a certain, you know, very, and, but those, I think those three things make me definitely somebody that, you know, your mom would warn you about. I mean, I think that, gosh, there's so many things that we can do in our power, yet there's so much between women and I guess in men too, but I see it more in women, the competition force. So you can either look at somebody and say, wow, they are awesome and powerful. And like, let's learn from them. Let's grow with them, or take them as like, she's competition. And that's where I think the negative part, you know, we need to do a better job at supporting one another. We need to do a better job at guiding the younger generation to come up to like support each other. And even if your friend, your sister, your girlfriend or so is doing something along the lines of you that seems to be competitive to you, cheer her on, because that's only going to bring so much more success and to you. And you never know when that collaboration is going to come, or you never know when you can work together. So I loved it. I was like, yes.
Next up, we feature one of our favorite guests of all time, Jeb Blunt, in two clips that really encapsulate the unique elements our serious and sexy show can provide. In the first, Jeb explains why now more than ever, the details still matter. In the second, we make him play fuck, marry, or kill. Enjoy.
One thing we've been teaching people in some of our improv-based sales training is paying attention to the details. So while we're virtual, we still have to be in the mindset of like, I'm there. And I need to pay attention to what's going on in your background and what's going on with what you're wearing. And I'm paying attention to the details so I can find a way to create common ground or something to talk about or a connection point. And the exercises that we do on this are fascinating to see how people really aren't paying attention. And it's forcing them to really get observant, because I think that's also going to be a game changer for people.
I'm in violent agreement with you. I think that the details totally matter. And if you were to go on set, and I shoot videos for some of the larger insurance companies and financial institutions that spend a lot of money on these videos. And we'll go on set and we may do in all maybe 60 minutes of total shoot, like video, and we'll be there all day. We'll get there in the morning and we do makeup and the camera crew is there. They spend hours working on the lighting. You'll be in the middle of a shoot and they'll stop everything because something changed on a cloud, and they go back because they're totally on the details. They've got tape on the inside of your jacket. There's three people watching everything that's happening because they're paying attention to the smallest and slightest details. Because, and I think this is where people don't really get this. The person who is not paying attention to the details, like, who cares? Like, why does that matter? But what they don't take into account is that the other person that is viewing it, their subconscious brain knows something isn't right. It doesn't know what it is. It just knows it isn't right. And by paying attention to the details, what you're doing is you're bending probability in your favor by getting everything that you possibly can. Like, you're being as perfect as you possibly can in that moment, so that when they walk away, they may not know why they want to buy from you. They just know they want to buy from you.
There's this game, and you know, we do swear on this, but I think I'll blush if I swear in front of you. So there's this game.
I know you're going to come to our studios, but you recognize that our second word around here is the F-bomb.
Game.
Like, we use it as an adjective, a noun, and a verb in every other sentence. We're just clean
not
on video.
Important.
So you're
not
welcome.
Okay. Okay, then, because we're not clean. So for the
I'm like show, that. I feel you.
You probably won't. You'll share it. You'll still share it. So the game is called, and correct me if I'm wrong, Fuck, Marry, or Kill. Is that right? Fuck, Marry, or Kill.
Now, is Marry so a your person answer,
but we've
or
changed
Mary
it.
Is getting married? Okay.
The other version is Kiss, Keep, or Kill, okay. Which was the clean okay. version that so, we came up with for...
We came okay. up with a clean version. Now, do we even need it now? So the clean version is Kiss, Keep, or Kill. So one of your answers has to be Kiss, Keep, or Kill to the following questions. Okay. So here are the three things: virtual selling, face-to-face selling, phone selling. Which one are you going to kiss?
I'm going to...
Or make love to.
Kiss, phone selling. Wait a minute, that's not a fair question. I'm kipping them all.
We're trying to establish which one you prefer is the whole game, Jeb.
Right, but the problem is that I gotta kill one of them. What's the other one? Fuck, marry, or what?
kill. You still kill it. You fuck it or you kill it.
I wanna fuck it and keep it. So I'm gonna... Because I mean, I like all of those. I mean, so we're going to get married to virtual selling. We're going to keep in person because it's not going to go away. We're still going to do some in person selling, and we're going to bang the fuck out of the phone. How about that?
Ah.
Before 2020 gave us all the middle finger, we gave you, the listener, the middle finger. Ash Amberger, author of The Middle Finger Project. She was so nice, we brought her back twice. Here's a clip from her first episode where she explains, counter to what you've been told your whole life, quitting is actually for winners.
If you can't wait to get home and drown your sorrows in three or four glasses of wine, that's a pretty good indicator that you don't like what you're doing. Just saying from experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I talk about the girl who like is buying like the extra large bottle of Yellowtail.
Drinking from the
Not
bottle.
That I don't approve of that. Been there, you know, carrying these little like vodka bottles around before doing sales calls back in the day with advertising. I was a great employee.
One more question before we get into our signature closing questions is, you talk about quitting, and you know, quitting is some serious counter programming to what we're used to hearing, which is never give up, you know. And so why do you feel like quitting can be helpful in certain situations?
Never give up. Oh, yes. Quitters are never winners, or whatever that phrase is. It's terrifying. Yeah, we give ourselves a lot of bad advice. Quitting is a great thing because if you quit 100 things, that means you're also starting 100 things and you're giving yourself a chance to figure out what you actually like doing. You're not going to find your passions in your living room. You're just not. So I think quitting is a really good indicator that you're actually trying a lot of new stuff. And I think that we oftentimes guilt ourselves when something doesn't work out, but that's backwards because it's like going to a restaurant. And I read about this. It's like going to a restaurant and trying the duck nards and surprise, surprise, you don't actually like duck nards. You don't feel bad about that. You're going to another restaurant. Like, right? And that's what we need to think about
I don't like Ducknards.
I don't like Ducknards. And I also don't like tennis. And I also don't like yoga. And I also don't like all those things. That ain't a flaw on me. That is absolutely something wrong with that thing with me. It doesn't work out. So good. Quitting is upgrading. It's a great thing to be doing.
Oh, I love that. Quitting is upgrading.
It is.
As much as Gina and Rachel focus on things that will help you grow your business, this show is just as much about failure as it is success. Gina explains this with the help of Leah Woodford from our episode, Fail Forward and Embrace the Suck with Leah Woodford.
You know, one of the things that we do in improv is we often say embrace the suck. But what we really teach is we teach failure. We teach being open to failure, because you think about it from a comedy perspective, when we fail on stage, it's kind of funny. So we win by failing on stage because the audience is still kind of rooting for us. They're like, oh, thank goodness that's not me. I think they laugh more at the fact that we don't get shaken up by it.
Well, and think about this. The most successful people in the world, the biggest influencers, have been so relatable. Who can't relate to failure? You know, and exactly. Who wants to work with Polly Perfect? I mean, think about this for a second. Oprah, what is the one thing that she has struggled with her whole life?
Her weight.
Absolutely. She's made over $400 million, you know, in Weight Watchers, being a spokesperson, because she has been honest and transparent and, you know, embraced her relatabilities and her flaws. And I think it's really intimidating to work with somebody that's Polly Perfect. I don't want to. It scares the hell out of me. Let your freak flag fly. I mean, people really want to know who you are. And I love that the millennials want authenticity. And I work with a whole thing of, you know, a whole team of millennials. So I've learned that, you know what? Less produced, a little more raw, a little more real is the way to go.
Oh, it sounds like a bit of our tagline of our show. I think when we show up as we are, our audience engages and connects with us because, you know, I'm often a hot mess.
Oh, you know what? We all are.
We go now from letting the freak flag fly to getting freaky. Dana B. Myers, founder of The Booty Parlor, joined us earlier this year to make the case that our sex lives are intimately connected to our professional lives.
For mothers or women who have not had children, no matter what, I think just for women, our relationship with our body and how we allow our feelings about our body to influence our feelings about ourself and our worth at large. It's, you know, we're like, F the patriarchy for that one. Okay. Like, fuck you, patriarchy, for putting so much, you know, weight on our weight.
Like, and you're a business owner and an entrepreneur. How do you think that that shows up for women in business, whether or not they own a business, but how they show up in their professional lives?
The patriarchy or our body image?
The body image and the patriarchy.
I mean, look, I think that, you know, what I always say is like, if I feel, if I have respect for my body in the mirror, I'm going to have respect for my body in a business meeting. If I can stand confidently in my body and not be icking myself, I'm going to have more confidence when I'm pitching my products. Like, for me, it's very much all related. If I am uncomfortable in my body, and look, I have very uncomfortable days as well. I gained 15 pounds in the last few months because of quarantine. But again, mindset wise, I go, oh, wow, you know, good for you for coping with this incredible life stress. Like, yeah, Ritz crackers. Like, thank you. Thank you for helping me cope.
Thank you for helping me not kill anyone.
Yeah. Like, thank God for Justin's dark chocolate peanut butter cups, like on mouth. Like, thank you for giving me that comfort. But if I'm feeling uncomfortable, then I'm going to feel uncomfortable in my clothes. I'm going to feel like I'm hiding. I'm going to feel my energy is not going to be as embodied when I'm in a room giving a talk or on, you know, a Zoom doing a podcast.
As I'm sure you are well aware of now, Women Your Mother Warned You About is a podcast that is raw, real, and irreverent. And perhaps no guest more exemplified that than Donnie Bovine, author of How to Be a Success Champion.
When I did commercial printing, I mean, I'd bring in some of these massive accounts and the pricing that I would get to do it, even the president of the company every once in a while would go in and goes, did you really promise all that shit for this price? I'm like, just hold on. And then, you know, a few months later, we'd be doing millions of dollars worth of business with this company because we just need to get in the fucking door. So they learned really quick to fucking just let him do his thing.
Just let him do
his thing. It's going to come out. And, you know, there was company picnics that I didn't fucking go to. There was, you know, all this stuff that I just wasn't necessarily a part of because I just didn't give a shit. My job was to go sell something. And, you know, so, I mean, it comes back to that. So when you're in the top of your game, everybody leaves you alone.
And at the same time, you're going to have haters.
Oh, fuck yes.
Right? I mean,
The people that come out of the woodworks are like, well, they get all the good leads, or they you know, have the good territory, or they have the fuck you.
Or they're like, why does he get to do that?
Right.
Oh, just because he's the rainmaker? That's not fair. Everybody should be treated the same.
And the answer is fucking outwork me, right? That's it. You want it? Outwork me. There's only one guy in all the companies I ever sold for that I never outsold. Fucker pissed me off. Because every time I went big, he went bigger. Right? That's the environment you want in. You want two fucking lone wolves duking it the fuck out to try and be number one. You want to grow a company fast? That's how you grow fast.
Believe it or not, I'm only sitting here talking to you on this podcast today because Gina and Rachel decided not to break up. They discussed their near schism for an entire episode. Here's a piece.
And be part of the discomfort, which comes back to how Rachel tried to break up with me. It's about putting the work in. It's putting the work in. And I think I had said this to you at some point in our conversation. It's like, you know, is the relationship worth it? Or is it disposable? Some relationships are disposable. I think we get worked up. I'm just saying you and I, if we get worked up towards each other, it's because we care. We care about each other. We care what the other person thinks. And that's why it becomes a little more challenging. The closer you are to someone, the more difficult a relationship can be because you care. And if it was somebody else, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Get the fuck out.
Unfriend. Yeah, you can pretty much assume that if I unfriended you on Facebook, then easily you don't matter enough for the conversation. Like, you know, there's people.
And that would have really frankly pissed me off because I would have been like.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general, like there's people. I've got like thousands of Facebook friends and I love you all. And some of you I've unfriended.
Yeah, I mean, I've unfriended a lot of people because there was like no true investment in the relationship. It's like, don't like you anymore, so goodbye. Like Facebook friends are not relationships.
Yeah, you know, it comes down to like, okay, there was some book that I've read along the way. I mean, so many books. I love books. How the people that really, really matter, think about this for a second. Who would show up to your funeral if you died tomorrow?
Well, a lot of people would show up just to make sure I was dead.
I think I speak for all of us when I say I'm just glad we haven't had a funeral for this podcast. One of the most powerful personal stories this year came to us from business growth and sales expert Meredith Elliott Powell, who described what it took to rise up the ranks and get to where the real decisions are made.
So looking at your success in business and your journey, because you've had a really interesting journey from entry-level employee to the C-suite, do you think that what you've gone through in this kind of adversity personally impacted how your success happened in your career?
I think everything really lies with that. You know how they say in life that, you know, you really got to think back on your life and would you truly change anything? And, you know, living through a lot of death and stuff doesn't really sound like a great life. But other than the fact that, you know, I feel badly for the people that have passed in my life, I wouldn't trade anything because I wouldn't have learned, you know, the lessons that I learned. I mean, first of all, I was raised in a family where my mother had no intention that either my sister or I would work. I mean, we really were raised to get out of college and to marry well and to have children. Lucky for me, I married an addict. And if we were going to have any money at all, I had to work. And the only way I could put myself up, you know, and then I was raised, I had to keep this image up. And if I was going to keep that image up, I had to have a lot of money. And so then I had to go into careers where I had to overachieve and overperform. And so there's no way I would, all the things that were weighing me down in the adversity were also the things that propelled me forward. You know, the tenacity, the ability to look at a bad situation and find the one positive, and to find the thread through, the ability to just have, you know, so many failures and the fact that you get back up, you know, and you keep trying. And the fact that, you know, in a weird way, the fact that my mother wanted me to save face more than she wanted ever anything just had me keeping so many balls in the air until I finally crashed at the age of 41. But it put me on a high trajectory until I was 41 years old and took me from, I mean, I went to a crap college. I don't have a good education or anything like that. But it took me from, you know, from pouring coffee to literally, I was the only female in the C-suite of a financial institution. And I was given the reins to write the strategy to take the company going forward. And it's a strategy they still use today that never would have happened if I didn't feel so less than and feel so much that I had to prove. And, you know, so I wouldn't go back and change it for those reasons.
So how did you get that opportunity to go from serving coffee to having that opportunity to write the strategy?
Well, you know, the thing that, as you can tell, my mother has been a huge influence on my life, but the very fact that she did say that the thing that young ladies ought to do was to volunteer in their community and be, she told me that it was my responsibility to make other people comfortable no matter where I went. So if I walked into a room full of people and they didn't know anybody, I was supposed to go up and talk to them. Yes, my mother taught me to talk to strangers. So my whole life became about that. Like any community I moved into, I immediately started volunteering and I would go to lots of events and I would just walk up and introduce myself and start talking to people. And I'm lucky enough that I came about at a time, I've worked in both travel and tourism, healthcare, and the financial services industry. And I always got every job I had because I was outgoing, people assumed I was good at sales. And I was always well connected in the communities in which I lived. Now, none of that was business intuition or, you know, whatever. But as I look back on it now, it's been the greatest asset that I've ever had. Like anytime anybody said, we need to know this person or something, like, oh, okay, I can connect you that way. And with that, I believe that if you build your network, it changes your life. I believe a network is everything. If you don't want your children to live in your basement the rest of your life, teach them to talk to people. And because you talk to people, you'll meet somebody who will lead to something. So doors have just always opened for me because I knew people. And then when I got in there, I would always be the only female. And because I was the only female, it meant I had to work harder. And when I worked harder, doors would open. And one person in there would see what I was doing and would open an opportunity for me. And I just started ignoring everybody who didn't want me to succeed and focusing on the one or two people who did. And one thing led to another, and I would have a lot of luck. I've got really good street smarts. And I'm good at business, and I've always known that. And I believe in what I think it's going to take to grow a business. And I would just put that down to the mat and say, give me five people and let me try. And then I'd blow it out of the water and another door would open.
Last but certainly not least, we come back to Ash Amberger. She was so nice, we had her on twice this year. In this clip to end the show, she dispenses some been there, done that wisdom about how to start the career of your dreams.
Every everything comes back to sales. I stand by that. I don't care what it is. If it's PR, if it's actual marketing, sale. I mean, it's sales. It's all selling. Relationships, networking, it's all sales. Yep. And I love it.
Everything. Everything is sales.
So, Ash, speaking of selling some crazy shit, so you've got, let's say one of our Warners is out there and she's got a crazy idea. It's just really seems like everybody's going to think she is like just bananas nuts crazy. What should she do?
Well, you know, honestly, I think the best thing anyone could do while starting is to start with a piece of paper and start by figuring out how you're going to pitch the damn thing, because that really is this little slip of gold that you need to not just put on your website, but if you're talking to anyone about your idea, if you're trying to get anyone on board with your idea, you need to be able to articulate what it is that you do, and not just what you do, but why anyone should give a damn, which is why I love the journalist lens for it. I would sit down. I don't care how crazy the idea is. I would sit down and figure out what your one-liner is. And this is the hardest thing that people go through. Oh, it's so hard, but it gives you a clarity that you need yourself to even make any other business decision. I think getting that one-liner down of like what this thing is so helpful for you if you're like, well, who am I selling to later? And what should the design be? And all these things, because now those decisions can be made according to this filter. A mistake I see people making all the time when it comes to just trying to articulate what it is that they're doing is summarizing too much instead of sizzling and selling. For example, with the bio thing, how many times have you read a bio that sounds something like, you know, Gina Tremarco is a business efficiency consultant, personal productivity expert, and founder of, you know, X company, an ethically sourced stationery brand centered around
intentional. Stop reading my bio. Stop it. Jesus.
Obviously, we did not have time in one show to get to all of the amazing and wonderful guests we had this year. So I wanted to take this opportunity for Rachel and Gina to say thank you for being a part of our journey. For links to the full episodes of the clips that you did hear today, check out the show notes. Thanks so much for listening this year. You are definitely a part of our journey, the key part that makes this show go. I speak for Gina and Rachel when I say we cannot wait to bring you more in 2021. Subscribe, tell a friend, leave us a review if you have an opportunity to. Stay healthy. Come back and listen next week. We've got an interview with Jessica Stokes, who went from the Air Force to swimming in that sweet, sweet sales gravy. Bye, Warners. Have a happy new year.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.